thing that they do. And we really feel like they are part of our church because, well, they are. Y'all got it? This morning, weren't they? I guess that's what you get when you live up in Minnesota, you know. Don't get the sun like we do, I guess. So this morning I want to pick up from last week's message on friendship, which I have, in my study, found to be such a critically important topic for Christians. I guess for everybody. But it's one that kind of gets swept under the rug and we don't think a lot about until we need a friend. And but there's a theology behind friendship that I think we're gonna have to see, and I'd like to explain that a little bit today, probably from a novel point of view. And when the microphone goes out, I'm going to try to give you all I can, but I've got a little bit of voice left, if it's going to last, I think. So having opened the subject of friendship in last week's Best Friends Forever, let's pick up where we left it. We saw the topic of friendship jump out of Jesus' talk with his disciples. He said this, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love." And then in verses 13 through 15, he said, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus is saying, I've pretty well completed everything now. I want you to remember that I am your friend, I'm your Savior, and I'm the one on whom you know, friend, when you walk into their house and your Wi-Fi comes on automatically. They say, don't let you do stupid things alone. If you have a friend as weird as you, then you have everything. I love that phrase. And a good friend can finish your sentences, but a real good friend can do it and make you sound. Thank God for friends. So how is the church, as I'm maintaining, the perfect medium for friends? It is. When we are doing things together, that friendship, all often fellowship, and sometimes surprises us how good we feel to be in the Lord's house, in his work and service together. Friendships. God wills for everyone to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He's our friend. Real friendships share a common purpose. Friendship is not primarily affection. Affection usually hangs around friendship, but that's not really what it's about. It's support and encouragement. Being absorbed into one another as another human being, finding fulfillment in a connection with others. C.S. Lewis has some terrific insights that I'd like to bring to us today, because here's a man who is brilliant, first of all, and studied through the scriptures and has applied in a philosophical way, in a theological way, our very practical elements, things like friendship. He said, "Is any pleasure on earth as great as a circle of Christian friends? It is when we are doing things together that friendship springs up. Painting, fighting shoulder to shoulder." How many times have you heard a testimony from some old veteran about his friends that are still alive and what joy they receive in getting together? Battle bonds people. Everything that we do together bonds us together. Fighting shoulder to shoulder, discussing philosophy or theology, friends look in the same direction. This is important, that we look in the same direction. I'll follow up with it. It is lovers who look at each other. Friends look in the same direction. Lovers look in opposite directions at one another. Friends see things together, encounter things together. Memorial Day interviews about old friends who met in the war. These guys always have this special closeness because they shared something deep and meaningful. And it was outside themselves. It was the war. It was the horror. It was the struggle and the fight that they shared. In his book, The Four Loves, C.S. Lewis goes on with this theme. We picture lovers face to face, but friends side by side. Their eyes look ahead to something of common interest. That is why those pathetic people who simply want friends can never make any. The very condition of having friends is that we should want something beside friends. And we find that what we want, others want, and we want them together. Where the truthful answer to the question, do you see the same truth, would be, I see nothing and I don't care about truth, I only want a friend. No friendship can arise in such a situation. Affection, of course, but no friendship, not truly. There would be nothing for friendship to be about. Please listen carefully. There would be nothing for friendship to be about, and friendship must be about something. Even if it were only an enthusiasm for dominoes or white rice and white mice. Those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no fellow travelers. Now, what about opposite sex friends? Can they be friends and lovers? Maybe friends, but they add the dimension also of being lovers. In that case, he says, you have no problem sharing together with other friends, but the mere thought of sharing your lover is out of the question. See the difference? But if two people are friends and lovers, nothing fulfills those two like the experience of engaging mutual friendships with friends. Delighted when my friends get together and they get along as friends. Charlotte and I love each other. We have become better and better friends over the years as well. But we have friends with whom we see things together that we enjoy. Friendship is about seeing things alongside a friend. How outrageously wonderful it is. Or would it be that if something other, this is Lewis again, were our passion for Christ? Think about it. That objective thing that both friends are looking at, enjoying, and engaging would be a passion for Christ. It pulls the friends together like nothing else. A passion for Christ. Real, deep, growing, and fulfilling friendship is not about two people loving each other, though they probably would say that they do love each other, but about having in common important things outside themselves, something each engages with enthusiasm, wholehearted attention, and then enjoys having company of someone else doing the same. What if that something else were our faith? What if that something else were our faith and our obedience to Christ, and we'd simply long for others to come alongside, love him and serve him like we do and with us? This concept ought to transport Christians to a new level. What if two or more discovered their mutual fascination with something so noble and so good as holy living? Life in total devotion to Christ. If you are a friend with that mutual goal, you have fellowship with God and with one another, just like John said. This is why I'm suggesting with C.S. Lewis and other, I think, brilliant writers, that if you are passionate about something outside yourself and discovered someone else who is also passionate about that something outside of themselves, that makes for a strong, binding, lifelong friendship. Now imagine that common passion, that something other, as the gospel, as the church, as wanting to be obedient to him and remain faithful in him. And beyond that, to help your friend do the same. How outrageously wonderful would it be if that something other were a passion for Christ? The passion that is stirred in you, but you never really committed to it as deeply as you wished, but a friend helps you do that. It is people finding each other, sharing that passion, and together purposing to live for Christ and hold one another accountable. And to encourage them and to be open about their faith. A spiritual life in common, mutually encouraging atmosphere, encouraging one another in their faith and their faithfulness in their lives. Friends, friends, fellowship, the church. Listen, this is what Jesus Christ pictured his church as. What his church would be, a thriving community who made serving and loving one another their mission. Not a bunch of people with their own peculiar mission, but a common mission carried out in several fashions. The early church touched on this, and you've read about it in Acts chapter 2. These people who were saved the next day, as it were, started devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching together and to their fellowship together and to eating and sharing communion with one another and praying for and with each other. Friends, friends in Christ. What happened? God worked wonders among these people who found each other as Christian friends. He worked miracles. If one of them had a need, they were prompted by God and they all come together selling something of theirs and bringing it to share with those who had need. Friends, friends. They met at the temple and in their homes and shared meals and they shared their lives with great joy, praising God, the scripture says, and finding favor with everyone around them. And people kept joining their number. Why? Because God built something into us, a need for friends. That became a vacuum when we sinned. A need we couldn't get in touch with. We didn't know how to fill. But when we find ourselves in Christ, restored to the Father, we realize this is a very real need for us to have friends with whom we serve, for whom we serve, praising God and finding favor with others around us. So we're going to review That Christian fellowship, genuine Christian fellowship, what it does and how the church is the perfect place for friends. Mutual friends who honor God according to his purposes, living their lives devoted to him. So I'm going to be encouraging you on a couple of things. First of all, I want to encourage you to find a good Christian friend with whom you look not to one another, at one another, but at something else, Christ and his kingdom. Find a friend in Christ, and then find another and another. Build a cadre of friends around you. Folks, we got that here. We don't have it perfectly because I don't think we really understand what this friendship in Christ means. But we need to perfect that. A great and worthy mission for you, dear Christian brothers and sisters, is to maintain your faith and devotion in Christ and look feverishly for another person with that same kind of devotion, that same kind and level of faith. Then serve together, and your strength together is multiplied through thick and thin, through life's challenges, through personal differences between the two of you, while maintaining your mutual love for Christ. And you will discover the most meaningful, the most real friendship of all. You're not trying to love each other. You're trying to love and serve Christ. And as you pull one another in that same direction, you find you love one another. That's friends. It's always good to find Christian friends. But you also have to be a Christian friend. We need to give up on the notion that I hang around church so I get the help I need. People make me feel good. You know, I get a little gospel, you know, and then I'm fine for a while. You're not fine at all. You need a friend, a common faith, a place where you are being encouraged to grow as a Christian, and you have the opportunity to encourage someone else. And that's scary to us because we know we're not what we need to be. But guess what? The other guy isn't either. That's why we need each other. It's kind of like marriage. Two fit together to help one another, to encourage one another, and to make something brand new. Be a good Christian friend. Love and serve God together and serve others like Jesus did. You will bond as you never bonded before. So do you see now why Jesus linked friendship and the common cause of obedience to him? He knows there is something in us that needs to bond with another in a common cause. He said, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Again, so we don't get confused, when Jesus says, if you obey my commands, you remain in my love, doesn't mean you are earning his love by obeying his commands. It means that he already loves you, and insofar as you obey his commands, you remain in that love. You glory in it. You grow in it. You understand it more deeply, and you apply it to yourself all the more deeply. As you obey him, you deepen your love relationship with him. Every time I've grown as a Christian, you know those little mini steps of, oh, I always wanted to do this for the Lord, and I finally got around to doing it. You know what I felt? I thought I felt maybe pride in getting there, but it wasn't that. It was God's favor. He loves that I'm growing. And I'll be truthful with you. I don't grow nearly as fast as when I have a mutual Christian friend alongside me, kicking me in the butt, moving me forward, challenging me with a good example, and letting me correct him when he needs it. And you will gain the resources to love and serve others as a fruit of his Spirit in you. The more you remain in his love, the more filled with his Spirit you become, the more power that you have to be the friend who encourages a friend. Translates to making disciples. Someday, I hope that one of your true friends in Christ is a brand new Christian in whose life you had the pleasure of leading him. I hope that for you. There's nothing more fulfilling than to have them give you a call and ask you a spiritual question. Say, let's find it. But to encourage them and to draw them into Christ ever more deeply by your friendship. So you gain the resources to love and serve others as a fruit of his Spirit in you. Our church mission states that it's all on being good Christian friends together, a place to belong, a place to become, a place to worship and serve. Love God, serve others. That's our motto. That's our mission. We do that best with friends. Our calling and our mission, born from the seed of two great commandments of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Love God, serve others. It's a life mission. It's a mission of Christ's church that is something God's calling you to be totally involved in, totally devoted to. And when you are, you find the joy of that fulfilling experience. And there's nothing like discovering that with a Christian friend. Many of you know I have a good friend named Steve Ernest. We've known each other for 50 years. Every time we get together, it's like we never left. We have been through thick and thin together. We have encouraged and counseled one another. We have stuck barbs in one another. And we have been gratified in each other's presence. And there's nothing more fulfilling than a friendship in Christ. Nothing. Our church mission statement. Love God and serve others. That's a life mission for each of us. A life mission. It's a mission of Christ's church. Something God is calling us to be totally devoted to. And I'm here to say you'll do it better with a friend. You will become stronger in the greatest of all missions. And you will become more and more resilient to the devilish influences that would tear you away from the Lord. If you have a good Christian friend and you are tempted away from the Lord, he's going to come get you if he loves you. And you're going to do the same for him. Because your mission, your focus is on Christ and living a devoted life. We're not going to let each other stray. We need somebody like that, each of us. You will also find others similarly devoted. Won't it be great to expand that friendship circle to 4, 5, 6, 100? You never lose that special relationship with the first friend. You just add to it. You find others similarly devoted, and you can obey Christ and serve others side by side, supporting and encouraging one another in faith and obedience. That's really what we're called to, isn't it? Listen, if you feel like you've been failing at faithfully living for Christ and contributing to the church so it could all be God intended, all be intended it to be, try this. Find a mutual friend or two and start getting serious about faith together. Well, how do I do that, Pastor Ritz? Let me suggest you just go to them and say, look, Pastor Ritz's sermon hit me right in the heart. I'd like to be that kind of friend with you. Somebody you already trust, you already love. Say, I'd like to build this trust between us. Form an organization of two so that we can help one another and goad each other to grow into the image of Christ. Now, if that's scary, well, it probably is scary. Do it anyway. Take the leap. Face the possibility you may get somebody that says, I'm not sure I'm ready for that. Okay? Find a friend. Jesus said in his great commandment, but it takes sinners a while to grow. It takes obedience to his spirit and to relate with Christian friends. The more you do, the closer you will grow to the others who have the same mission. I'm convinced that the church today is to Christian fellowship as Facebook is to real friendship. We just get together online, make a connection or two. I read about a guy who had really worked himself up to 400 friends on Facebook. And he decided it was time to get together and celebrate Thanksgiving. So he put the note out, we're going to have Thanksgiving at this bar. It was a bar. Invited all of them to come. He figured maybe 25, 30. And he waited. And he waited. One guy came in. But he said he had to leave soon. And there he sat. He said, hundreds of friends, and here I am drinking a beer alone. Is church like that? I'm afraid it often is. Oh, I come to the worship services. Yeah. Put my name on the book. I'll give some money. If you really need me, maybe I can help with a project or two. That's so different from a sellout relationship or a friend to say, you know, church really needs to get this done. Would you join me? I really feel called to do that. Let's get in there and get it done. You get what I'm saying? It's different. Church to most people is a gathering on Sunday. Nothing wrong with a gathering on Sunday, but it is also relationships. So help your fellowship make resilient disciples. The church is God's only enterprise on earth, his only enterprise on earth to carry out his mission, to assure that everyone that he loves them, that his forgiveness and open arms and willingness to share his love with him is available. That shouldn't be that difficult, right? Even when it is, you know you have company. If nothing else, you could get together and commiserate and say, that didn't work, let's try something new. Are you with me? Yeah, I'm with you. So what are the best things you can do to love and serve your Christian community? To build community is to start with a friend and then to build out to other friends. With regard to church, I have three suggestions. I started to say rules. That's always a bad term for church. Suggestions. Number one, plant or migrate. If you're in the church and you don't feel like you're getting anything there, you can't participate, you're not finding the friend that you need, migrate. This is the first time I've ever said from a pulpit, go find another church. But I mean it. If you can't fit in here, and by fitting in, I mean you're ready to work, ready to serve, ready to become friends and in fellowship with one another. You can't do that, go someplace else where you can. Second, invest yourself. Invest yourself. Throw yourself into relationship. Let God do something wonderful for you. We all know what it's like to find a good friend. I mean, a real good friend. Unfortunately, there are a few of us who've never found a good friend. Let me tell you, it is wonderful. And you never run out of room for new friends. You learn in that relationship is givable to others. So plant or migrate, get in or get out, and when you stay in, invest yourself. Give yourself to the mission of the church. Make sure it's a mission that Christ wants. I mean, you could join a church and say, okay, our mission is to give food to the community, and that's all the deeper it goes. Well, I would migrate in that case. Plant or migrate, invest yourself, pray for your church. In fact, I'm going to ask you today to pray for BFFs to spring up everywhere in the church. Best friend forever. I mean, after all, the church of Christ is going to be taken into glory when Christ comes back, and we will really be BFFs forever. It's amazing. So think about that. And dedicate yourself. Pray for the church. Lord, that we could become a melting pot of friends devoted to the same thing. Nothing will stop a church like that. Help the church fellowship to get well-rooted by making each other resilient disciples, fighting off the enemy, and dedicated to God's purposes. Finding others who are lost and bringing them to Jesus, and bringing them into Christian friendships. Going over. So you know what? We're going to go from two messages out of one to three messages out of one, because I don't want to keep you much longer, but there's more to say. And I'd like to develop this theme a little bit further with your leave. We'll do that next Sunday. Let me just ask you now, is there anyone that has anything to say about these comments and this thought? Is this new to you? Is it a foreign or is it invigorating? What do you think about friendship in the church? Yes, I'm inviting you to talk. And I put that in my note. Okay. Amen. Amen. Anyone else have a thought? Yeah. I'm sorry. Well, I can't quite hear you. Yeah. Amen. Good. Thank you. Amen. Anyone else comment? Would you promise me to think about these things seriously? I think it's really important. And it goes to this overall theme that Carrie and I have been trying to emphasize over the last few weeks, and that is that our culture is going into things that are not Christian friendly. We're not going to have many inducements from society and culture to be engaged in the church or the mission of Christ. So we need to build that from within. And that's exactly what Christ wanted all along, right? So we'll do away with churchiness and just be the church. And it's built on the backs of many friendships in Christ. Amen. Okay, we have a few announcements that I saved to the end so that we could get offline with this, but I want you to be praying for a couple of needs particularly. Jimmy said that his uncle Bob died just last night.